What is the greatest commandment according to the words of Jesus? The answer is found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Today, on this Words of Life program, our speaker, Brother David Johnson, will tell us about the words of Jesus. This weekly program is sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want you to know Jesus and then know more about Him. We now worship our Lord with song.
No tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flown.
Let's bow in prayer. Holy Father, we praise you for the freedom that we have. We are grateful for the freedom found in Jesus and for our own personal freedoms as well. Please use the words of this program for your glory. Some of our listeners do not know Jesus as Savior and Lord, and still others are troubled with illnesses and discouragement. Please provide the convictions, healing, and peace that are needed. We know that Christians are being persecuted in many places throughout the world. We ask that you will bless them with your protection and strength and faith. As always, we want to be found ready for the promised return of Jesus. Thank you for hearing us today. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now speak to us about the greatest commandment.
It's good to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is The Greatest Commandment. And our primary text is taken from the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Please listen to the Word of God. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." This is the Word of God. I remember many years ago asking my number two son, when he was still in elementary school, what he would do if he got really, really mad. Suppose a bully picks on you. Right away, he informed me that the worst kid in the whole school was in his class. That this bully was always pushing kids down. So I pressed him. "Well, what would you do?" He said, "I'd hold my breath and make my face turn real red." "Really?" I said. "Does that work every time?" To which he quickly answered, "Duh, of course it works." Of course, my son was a normal, average kid who handled anger in a rather simple, harmless way. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us in schools and society could just hold our breath, turn our faces beet red, and diffuse so very much anger in so many among us? Many years ago in Indiana, in the United States, I received a phone call from the county coordinator for crises, both natural and human, to meet with our clergy association to set up post-trauma counseling should disaster, natural or human, devastate our schools or community. Unchecked, uncontrolled, unresolved anger is one of the primary symptoms of human and violent disaster. Sadly, violent anger has become more deadly in its rage. In my sermon files, I found a lesson dated from March of the year of our Lord 2000, and in my lesson notes, I had asked our teenage Bible class what they believed was a remedy to school troublemakers. Here are some of the teenagers' answers, which I labeled in this way. A. Their answers. A. Bribe them. Now, these are teenagers. They said the remedy could be to throw money or merchandise at the troublemakers. In other words, buy them off. In our discussion of this suggested remedy, it was pointed out that rewarding troublemakers is nuts. It adds the unintended consequence of an increase of troublemakers seeking money and merchandise. Moreover, it does not get at the reason or reasons for the root cause, often evidenced by explosive anger. B. Another remedy suggested bully them. So the suggested remedy went from reward to retaliate. That is, get someone bigger and tougher to intimidate the troublemakers. The school coaches were suggested. In our subsequent discussion with these teenagers, it was generally agreed that that would only pour gas on an often inner fire of anger. This still did not address the root causes. C. Banish them was the next suggestion by the teenagers. Expel the troublemakers from the school. And of course, this does happen to the worst offenders. And also, sometimes, these crazed, angry troublemakers return to schools and unleash their wrath on so many other precious lives. The root issues are not resolved. More people suffer. And worse, copycat troublemakers multiply. You understand, the context of this discussion was during a church teenager class. It was generally agreed that bribing, bullying, or banishing are not effective remedies in addressing angry troublemakers. So, I pressed them. What is the antidote to unresolved anger and to get to the root of the problem? A young lady in our Bible class answered, Christianize them. She is right on. But this does not mean only to invite them to church services or only to join the youth group. Furthermore, superficially going through even the steps or emotions of becoming a Christian is not the answer. It's not just about a person's attempt to reform himself or herself. Superficially, unresolved anger and a host of other evils within people is not only about reformation by human effort. The only sure answer is transformation by God. Only God can produce spiritual, moral transformation or regeneration from the inside out. This act of God, by His grace, through genuine saving faith, is His gift in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe the Bible. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation or a new creature. The old has gone, the new has come. Also, for example, in the New Testament, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Also, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Also, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. And also, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Born-again Christians need to train, teach, and counsel children and children's children and even adults that it is God who ultimately changes people. Obviously, even genuine Christians get angry. However, sinful anger and every other evil can be resolved in Christ Jesus. Christ not only redeems us from all sin, He also can resolve it in our minds, hearts, and wills. Someone has wisely written, quote, "Anger is an acid that can do much harm to the vessel in which it is stored, and to anything on which it is poured," end quote. Uncontrolled, unresolved anger within anybody is almost always a complicated issue with deeply entrenched roots. No merely individual effort can remedy it. As with all sin, all evil, only God ultimately has the sure and lasting remedy for sin. Any sin, all sin, in Christ Jesus. Moreover, in Scripture it is revealed that there is a rock-solid solution. Jesus was tested with this question in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." If every human being could keep these two greatest commandments perfectly, we would be sinless, morally perfect. None would ever be plagued by anything evil. From anger to worldliness, genuine, persistent love of God and mankind would cancel sinful anger. Perfect love is the antidote of all sin. The problem is, no one can obey even just these two commandments perfectly, nor either one of them. No one can do it. Exactly. That's why we need Jesus Christ. Because He did perfectly keep not only these two greatest commandments, but all the commandments of God. He was morally perfect. He was tempted in every way which is common to man. And yet, He sinned not. He was sinless. Jesus Christ never had an evil thought, an evil word, or an evil action. Jesus was perfect morally. Therefore, the final solution is in the Savior. Romans chapter 8 and verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." Sin and death are derived because of our sinful nature. We all sin. Everybody sins. However, what we cannot remedy, God solved in His Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself stated in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." That's not to say that we're not going to get angry and that we're not going to suffer from sinful anger. or the consequences of sinful anger. We will at times. But we can be forgiven, and anger can be resolved in Christ Jesus and any other sin if we're willing to submit to the Holy Spirit's conviction, to confess and repent of our sin. And God is faithful and just to forgive us all our sin. Are you in Christ Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord through faith? As Christians, we need to point people to Christ, the only way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is Savior. Jesus Christ is the final solution.
Do you love Jesus and are you living in obedience to Him? If you're not yet a Christian, the Bible teaches that you must first truly believe in Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. We are also shown in the Bible by the examples that believers repented of their sins, confessed Jesus as Savior, and were baptized in water. If we can help you in becoming a Christian, or if you'd like to have a free CD of this and next week's program, please write to us today we want to share the love of Jesus with you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing them all.